What I'm about to say can easily sound really critical if it's taken out of context, but hey, here goes. If church attendance is not stressful, it really can't benefit us.
Wow, you could go all kinds of directions with that comment, couldn't you? But he's talking about involving children in the worship service. And there are some very interesting things we're going to hear in our feature conversation on today's edition of Come Receive the Light.
What I'm saying is we want to avoid the tantrums and the stress, but we want other parishioners not to focus on our parenting skills during this 1 or 2 hour block on Sunday morning. Yeah, we want a worship experience on Sunday that is as ideal as it can be. Well, guess what? You and I know it's not going to happen. So let us make no mistake, the truest form of Christianity is that which is the most uncomfortable.
Okay, the baby crying may be an exaggeration on my part, but admit it, for some of you, that is what first came to your mind. All this month on Come Receive the Light, we're going to be looking at children and worship, and we launched the series with a conversation this week about children and liturgy. And if you're new to the ministry we call OCN, or the Orthodox Christian Network, we are a media outreach using radio, audio, video, music, and the written word to communicate the truths of God's Word, always viewing the world around us through the lens of the Orthodox Christian faith. And we have a great website at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. Starting us off, we have a conversation with Chris Vlahanasios, the founder and media writer for the Orthodox Filmmakers and Artists blog. He's also the founder and director of Bizen Fest, which is coming up soon, and we'll give you all the details on that as we share this conversation. Chris Vlahanasios is down in Australia, and our host, Father Christopher Metropoulos, caught him by phone and recorded this conversation.
Chris, thanks so much for being with us.
It's great to be here.
Let's start off by telling us about the blog. What are you doing with that blog?
Well, the OFA has pretty much tries to have virtually every type of media that is in existence. So you have topics about film, TV, music, internet, social trends, and even photography, but there's a lot more I could go on all day. And the blog tries to get many interviews with Orthodox artists. There's a section called Talent, and I've had the privilege of interviewing many Orthodox artists and filmmakers, learning about their lives, their work, and their inspirations. And through these articles, the goals of the OFA are to support artists and to fuel their creativity, but not just professional artists, but even just amateurs, and even people who are living just ordinary daily lives, to use a creative approach to dealing with their problems, to look at things and go, how can I solve this? Because a creative mind is needed. Also, through this blog, I'm hoping to try and create more of an Orthodox influence in the general media. So by helping these artists, by helping boost up their profile, hopefully their work and even themselves will have a greater influence and a voice in our very secular and materialistic social and media environment.
All right, so having said that, let's go a little bit deeper and say the Orthodox filmmaking scene. What's it like these days?
Well, at first I wasn't sure when I started the blog if I would be able to find a lot of Orthodox filmmakers. But to my surprise, there's actually quite a few. But the thing is, they're scattered all over the world. There's a lot in Russia, but there's also a lot in the USA. I've done a lot of networking with people online through the USA, and I've discovered a great deal of talent. Orthodox filmmakers are very talented. They're very organic and holistic in their approach to film, just like our faith. But what makes it difficult for Orthodox Christian filmmakers, or any Christian filmmaker for that matter, is the fact that working in this industry, we've been stereotyped, so there's a lot of challenges in dealing with that.
And what's the criteria you use in deciding who and what you'll cover? I mean, how do you determine who or what is Orthodox?
Well, in terms of deciding what I wish to put on my blog, I try and find the most interesting artists with the most creative work. Usually I showcase a lot of different varieties of media, but primarily I like to have Orthodox artists who practice their faith, not just simply say it in name. The procedure that I normally use to determine who I wish to showcase, I usually get to know them beforehand. I ask them a lot of questions. I try and do a lot of reading between the lines. Usually it's through Facebook, so I get to look at their work, have a look at what their likes are, mm-hmm. and their opinions, so that I can understand overall what is their personality and what is their true inspiration behind their work and their overall thought process. In determining what an Orthodox artwork is, primarily you have to look at the subject matter, and from looking at the subject matter, try and cipher out what the messages are, what is the imagery that it's trying to communicate, and then try and identify if it's a depiction of Orthodox doctrine and theology, and whether it's been done respectfully. But I always go back to Orthodox practice to try and help understand if the creative expression crosses any lines.
Now, would you please tell us about Bizenfest? What is that all about?
Well, the festival is an initiative of the OFA blog. Bizenfest is a short film festival dedicated to Eastern Orthodox Christian filmmakers, and it's entirely online. It's a festival that's global, on demand, and interactive, where viewers can like, comment, share, and tweet on their favorite films. Mm-hmm. And it's a festival which is truly gives you the ability and the freedom to watch it anywhere, at any time, on any device. We want it to be as innovative as possible. And the name of the festival is actually in honor of the Byzantine Empire, which was a place of great wisdom, of art, and of faith. So choosing this name, it was to pay homage to that great empire, which although it was taken away from us, but I believe that the spirit of Byzantium still exists amongst the faithful today. So hopefully people can see that, and even artists themselves realize that too.
For people who'd like to submit a film or just want to watch some of them, how can they find out more?
Well, if you wish to submit or to find out more about the festival, the best thing to do is just to go to the blog. So that's www.orthodoxfilmmakersandartists, all one word, .blogspot.com. You'll see a post there which has links to the entry form and terms and conditions. So just read through that, fill out the entry form, and then it could either be the entry form plus the entry itself can be emailed or posted. And if you wish to, for people to stay up to date with the development of the festival and also the OFA itself, to go to Facebook and to like the page, Orthodox Filmmakers and Artists, and stay in touch and have the ability to network with their fellow Orthodox filmmakers from all over the world.
Tremendous program. Thank you, Chris, for sharing with us from Australia. And we wish you the very best. And, of course, we want to hear in the end who all the winners are, okay?
Yes, Father. No, I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Well, if you had a difficult time catching the link information for the online blog that Chris Vlahanasios mentioned, as I did, I'll give it to you again, and we'll have it on our website at myocn.net. That's probably the easiest way to find it, myocn.net. Now, the blog address is orthodoxfilmmakersandartists.blogspot.com. As Chris said, that's all one word, orthodoxfilmmakersandartists.blogspot.com. And the order form for Bizenfest 2014 should be the first thing you see on their homepage. It was for me when I went to the blog. The entry deadline is January 24th. We didn't mention that. And whether you're a professional, an amateur, or a student, you can submit your work for Bizenfest 2014. And find the link on our website at myocn.net. We're a nonprofit outreach, a part of the Orthodox Christian Network, OCN. This weekly broadcast is just one of many ministries supported by listeners and viewers and readers like yourself. As we begin a new year, we'd love to hear from you, and perhaps you'd like to become a regular donor. There's a Donate Now button on the homepage for our website, and you can learn about all of the different ways you can become a part of our team. That's myocn.net. And now with our feature conversation for this week, here again is our host, Father Chris.
Reverend Dr. Stelios Muksouris, a good friend of ours, is the priest at the Dior Mission Greek Orthodox Church in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. He is the professor of liturgy and theology at Byzantine Catholic Seminary in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He's here with us today to talk about children and the divine liturgy. How are you, Father?
Thank God, doing well. How are you?
Very good, very good. Thanks for coming on the program. You know, one of the things lots of parents of infants and toddlers struggle with is the simple decision of whether to sit in the pews or, as soon as they come in the church, head directly for the cry room. What are your thoughts, Padre?
Well, I am sensitive to this issue, both as a priest and as a father of a former infant and toddler. You know, we've all heard the ancient adage, when in Rome, do as the Romans, right? Well, when in church, we must do as the saints and angels who stand before God and celebrate the heavenly liturgy. I believe that a parent's chief responsibility vis-a-vis his or her children is to nurture them in every positive way that is to their benefit. This involves, of course, spiritual nourishment, to bring them to the Eucharist, expose them to the experience of the liturgy, to allow them to encounter God through their still developing senses, even if they do not comprehend everything. I don't think there is even an adult, quite honestly, who's reached this state. So rushing to the cry room, which happens very frequently, as we all know, as soon as one enters church, is, for me, outrightly wrong. Church is all about exposing ourselves to God, not seclusion or separation from the community of faith to which young children rightfully belong by virtue of their baptism and, of course, chrismation. It seems to me that our society today wants our children to constantly be on display as if they're a beautiful painting in a museum. You know, and if the painting is smudged, we remove it from the display because it doesn't look good. It's embarrassing, it's inappropriate, and reflects badly on us. But children, we must remember, are not objects, for goodness sakes. They are God's image and likeness in the process of growth and development toward the kingdom, just like adults. So let's not deny them this growth toward their full humanity.
Okay.
Keep them in the pews. They have every right to be there as you or I do.
Mm-hmm. Father, there's a posting on our blog, The Sounding, which is a blog that OCN has. And it was done by one of our bloggers, Tony Alexiou. He writes, if you don't hear crying, the church is dead. So in other words, like you said, there's an experience here. It's not a sterile situation where you go off and you hide the kids in the room so that you don't see them or hear them. And that's a big problem for many churches. They do want that sterile environment.
Yes, yes. I'm aware of that, as we all are. And yet we have to ask ourselves the question, ultimately, what is the purpose of attending church? You know, it's, for us, it's an issue, I think, more or less of, it should be an issue of our exposing ourselves to God. And you know, we're in church to pray to God. We're in church to receive the Eucharist. We're there to communicate with God. And we have to set that right example for our children, you know.
Right.
And so I would clearly agree with the idea that, you know, the church has to have some kind of give and take. It has to be loud, and, you know, not in the pejorative sense, but
right.
in the very positive sense. There has to be activity. There has to be, because liturgy is a work. It's not a silent work.
Right.
It's a work in progress.
Okay. Let me ask you this then. Can you give us some tips on how to engage younger children that do come to liturgy?
Yes. Again, I'm going to bring up an ancient Greek saying, exis deftera physis, which is habit is second nature. One of the primary characteristics, I believe, of the liturgy is that it's filled with repetitive petitions, with hymns, with responses. Such repetition came to be because people would enter the liturgy at different times from the outside galleries into the main part of the church. So we can use this repetition during the Divine Liturgy to sing along with our children, to sing the Kyrie eleison, the Lord have mercy, which is sung in a variety of ways during the liturgy and is repeated over and over again. This repetition, week after week after week, the prayerful utterances of our kids will become so embedded in their minds eventually that when they come to church, the words and the melodies will simply flow from their mouths. Another possibility is, of course, to come to church early. Oh, God, did I say that?
Yes, early.
You know, during Orthros, during the Matins, and to approach each of the icon in the church, or to go up right to the iconostasis, as in the Slavic tradition, and venerate them together with our children. One thing I often have said to my own parents in my parish is maybe we can pick an icon, a particular icon or a saint or an event, and maybe talk silently about it with our kids during the eni, say, during the orthros. You're going to say that talking is inappropriate during services, but it's no worse, you know, sometimes in the conversations adults have in the narthex when they decide that they want to socialize.
Right.
Another thing is I think we should let our children imitate us, you know, and in our quietness and in our various postures in the liturgy, whether we bow, we prostrate, we cross ourselves, pray, whatever. We have to do it meaningfully, not for show, but because it's important for us and it means something to us. And
I think when our
children imitate this, the liturgy will become more real and more applicable to them.
Well, let me ask you this. What about, I see some parents bringing in small bottles of little containers of Cheerios or little toys or things like that for infants. Do you find a problem in that, Father?
I do, and I would say an emphatic no. These are distractors, and they're really a crutch for me. They're a deterrent from our true intent, which is to engage our kids with God. You know, we come to the church to be attracted to God, not distracted from Him. And, you know, even here, we have to use prudence so that the aids that we use, and sometimes bringing a liturgy book in church or allowing them to read the liturgy book is going to help. But we have to be very careful not to have them focus only on the book and not on the experience that they should be having in the liturgy.
Father, obviously we want our children to behave in church. I mean, I don't know anybody that wouldn't. We have 6 children and 2 grandchildren, so clearly you want them to behave. But we don't also want them to feel intimidated or a sense of dread. I mean, how can we instill the joy of worship into our kids? And hopefully some of the parents will learn something too here.
Sure. Yeah, you know, by its very nature, you and I both know that the liturgy that we celebrate periodically here on earth cannot be anything but joyful, because it's an image, it's an icon, it's a picture of the heavenly worship, where God is all and in all. You know, I think we've imposed these sentiments of intimidation and dread, and wrongly, of course, for various reasons, most especially because I really believe we don't truly understand the liturgy from the various perspectives, you know, historical and theological and spiritual. And because of this ignorance, I think we've made worship to be something that only the clergy do, and the lay people are simply the active active participants, they are just passive bystanders. And the lay people simply feel that they have no ownership of the liturgy. And I think they convey this to their kids, which is sad. But the liturgy belongs to the whole people of God, you know, to the adults and to the kids. So when the adults begin educating themselves to this end, to see the liturgy as a joyful act, to see it as a participation in the life of God, then they can help their children to understand this truth also. So what I would suggest, you know, in order to instill the joy of worship in our kids, we need to help them take ownership of the liturgy, to embrace it as their own, to take pride in their faith and in the church as their second home. One idea is maybe to teach our kids to bring flowers to church from their backyard and put them in front of an icon on Sunday. Maybe to teach them to bake the prosforo, teaching them how their loaf, which they made with their own two hands and with prayer, can be used as the offering to God to become His body. We should encourage them to bring canned food, you know, non-perishable items of the parish's food bank. This is a form of worship in which a sacrifice is offered, maybe not so much to the altar, but to the altar of every suffering heart, you know, to paraphrase the words of St. John Chrysostom. So we need to encourage also our kids to sing the hymns of the church together with the chanters and the choir. We have to let the liturgy come alive in their hearts. We have to give them permission to take ownership of worship. We have to be positive with them. And so, you know, since children are creatures of imitation, as we all know, and since you and I as parents, you know, are their primary models, we need to make the liturgy ours before they do.
Well, let's go there for a minute. Let's go there for a minute. Let's go to the home, Father.
Yes.
Because the home really, as St. Paul says, is the first church, right?
Absolutely.
So let's talk about preparation. Let's talk about prepping the kids to come to church. Are there things we could do at home that would enhance the liturgical experience for the family, the kids especially?
Absolutely. You know, this is not always an easy thing to answer, and it certainly requires great levels of patience and even some ingenuity and creativity. But here are some thoughts that I've had about that. First, I think it's most effective to sit down with our children on a Saturday evening, you know, the night before, and read a book on the Divine Liturgy geared for children. I know our Department of Religious Education of our Archdiocese is a great resource for such kind of literature. One thing we can do is, for example, focus on the Trisagion, or on the Great Entrance, or Holy Communion. And we should use variety, too. In other words, we have to choose a different topic, I believe, each week. This allows the child not only to ask questions, but also it piques his interest or her interest and gives them something to look forward to on Sunday morning. You know, my wife and I had done this when we were in Charlotte with our daughter, and it really worked. Another possibility is maybe a coloring activity or game the night before. In the morning when we're driving to church, you know, pop in the CD of church hymns and maybe sing them together. There are also some creative activities or apps that one can do on their mobile device or even or on their iPad. But during the liturgy, we have to build up to the moment that we discussed with our child at home or in the car and get them excited about that one individual or event. After church, I think it's important to go out for breakfast, even go home, discuss with our kids what they most liked about the liturgy. Let us hear their feedback and let them know that we are interested in what they believe. We have to make them feel that their opinion matters because, in fact, it does. And a rule of thumb that I often tell my grad students is that true liturgy does not happen to us, but it's we. We make the liturgy happen, and so should children through our guidance and encouragement.
Finally, Father, I think a lot of parents of young children almost wonder if there's even worth the stress of going to church, because I hear that often. The kids don't seem to get anything out of it, neither do the parents, because they're so busy tending to the children and worrying that, you know, they might have that tantrum just running around the corner or singing in the church real loud. I mean,
Right. What
can we say to these parents who maybe have reached the end of their rope and they're just staying at home now?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, what I'm about to say can easily sound really critical if it's taken out of context, but hey, here goes. If church attendance is not stressful, it really can't benefit us. So what I'm saying is we want to avoid the tantrums and the stress, but we want other parishioners not to focus on our parenting skills during this 1 or 2 hour block on Sunday morning. Yeah, we want a worship experience on Sunday that is as ideal as it can be. Well, guess what? You and I know it's not going to happen. So let us make no mistake, the truest form of Christianity, you know, I've said this in various talks, The truest form of Christianity, the real Christianity, is that which is the most uncomfortable. We make many sacrifices for our kids throughout their lives, so let this be right up there with the most important of them. You know, we offer to them the greatest gifts by introducing them to the God to whom they now belong through baptism, and to the kingdom of God and the saints. The challenges are great, but the sacrifices are worth every sweat or teardrop that runs down our cheeks and falls to the ground. Stress management, yes, it is up to us. Perhaps we should learn not to care how others feel about children in church. I know that's hard. I know it's easier said than done. Maybe we should prioritize their spiritual growth above and beyond anything else, and including our comfort levels and the impressions that others have. And granted, if kids are overly disruptive, we need to take a time out with them by, you know, going to the cry room. But this is a temporary fix. It should not become a permanent reality. Once they've calmed down and rested, hey, it's back in the game we go. And the church's liturgy, you know, it's like football, or at least should be like football, or maybe football should be like church. No one is sidelined. All the players are necessary in order to win the kingdom. And if we care about something, you know, we have to do everything we can to achieve its importance. And just one last thing I wanted to share with you and to all the parents out there, as a parent, I say this, you know, we are blessed. We are thrice blessed to have been allowed to become with God, you know, co-creators, and to become co-nurturers as he nurtures us and has created us. So our responsibilities are identical to those of God toward us. You know, he's like a loving parent. He's given us biological and spiritual life. And as we say in the liturgy, he has never ceased doing everything until he led us to heaven. and he granted us his kingdom to come. Neither can we cease doing everything for the love of our kids to likewise bring them to the kingdom of God. We're going to make mistakes. We'll naturally fall. We'll be criticized. But everyone loses games and hopefully learns from those mistakes. What matters is that we win the championship with our kids. You know, you can go 3-0, as we know in baseball and or any other sport, you know, and be down 3-0, but the important thing is to come back and to win the championship. So what matters is that we stay in the race and we cross the finish line. And when we do, that is all that God really expects from us as parents.
Thank you, Father. Thanks very much for your time today.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Father Chris.
Well, another very full broadcast from the team here at Come Receive the Light. And if you'd like to listen to it again, you can go to the website at myocn.net and click on the CRTL link. All of our archives will open up to you, and you can like what we do if you're on Facebook, and you can also, as I said, listen again to this program and other past broadcasts. And share that fact with your friends. Encourage them to check out myocn.net. That's myocn.net. We'll continue this series, this month-long series for January 2014, on children and worship next week at this same time. I hope you can join us. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. And special thanks to our executive producer, Ann Dankert. And remember, as always, to have faith in what you listen to.